Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus as we get into your word for a few minutes that you would open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law or thy word. Psalm 119, verse 18.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to Safeguard Your Soul Radio. This is Todd Tomasella, and I have the privilege of having my co-host, Mr. and Judge Travis Bryan III on the line. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning. The privilege is mine, Todd.
This morning, Brother Travis, we're talking about something that is on the heart of every believer in one way or the other, and that's victory. Victory. What is a biblical prescription for victory? Brother Travis, I don't know about you. I know you're very honest and speak with great candor about your own great need for the Lord, and that's such a blessing because we're in desperate need of Him on an ongoing basis, presently and ongoing. But we all have the desire to have the victory, and I know we've all tried different ways to have the victory in Christ. We've tried harder, right? Instead of learning, as we're going to talk about today, dying harder instead of trying harder. And that prescription for victory, because the Bible guarantees our victory. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And today we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of this victory and how it comes about. This program is called Victory's Prescription. Brother Travis, you talked about recently the way we win through the divine weapon of the cross. Biblically, that means we lay down our lives and let Christ take our life up. We do not deny the power, the reign of Christ in our life. We actually give way to it. And we also absorb blows by dying, not by fighting, not by killing or retaliating or revenge, but by the cross, which absorbs the blows of the evil one. And you know, you quoted how in Matthew chapter 26, verse 52, Jesus said unto him, to Peter, put up thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now, Peter was on a learning curve, Brother Travis, is that correct?
Absolutely. And Todd, you know, years ago I asked the same question, where is the power in Christianity? I want power, power to minister, power to witness, power to relate to Christ to people, and I just wasn't experiencing it. Well, it took a few more years, and the Lord revealed to me where the power comes from. It flows out of the cross, Todd. That is so strange to the natural mind that you would only find real power in the death, our death with Christ.
Amen.
That is so profound, but he referred to it as right side up power as over against upside down power. Human power, worldly power, is right side up, but God's power is upside down. You have to go down in order to go up with power in God's economy, Todd.
Amen. The only way up is down in the kingdom of God, Brother Travis. Amen. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, this is not a difficult concept, contrary to our fallen nature, apparently, as you're pointing out, Brother Travis. And for this reason alone, this message must be tended to on an ongoing basis, as we spoke about on the last program. You know, I've got to look at myself, Brother Travis, and I've got to say, you know, if I'm resisting this cross, claiming to be following Christ, who went to the cross and commanded me to pick up my cross daily and follow him, there may be something wrong here, because the preaching of the cross, this isn't just to the lost, this is to everybody. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So if I look at the cross as something foolish and flee from it, not wanting to endure sound doctrine, I've got to really examine myself. This is the prescription of victory, is that we say, Lord, it's not my will, but thine be done today, O Lord. You must increase, but I must decrease, as John the Baptist put it. Now, would you agree that it could not be put better than that, that the Father, the Lord, must increase and we decrease, Brother Travis?
I would totally agree with that, Todd. And another way to look at this, Todd, is power sources. Human power, worldly power, is sourced in the flesh, Todd. It's sourced in human ability and human effort. And God's power is sourced in the Spirit. So, and the Spirit comes to us through the cross. As we die, we rise. We experience resurrection power as we get down into the cross. He rises up in us. He increases as we decrease and lives his life through us. But our first instinct as Christians is to use human power. And see, yes, that's the great danger of law, is because law's power source is the flesh. And that is the great fallacy of living under law, is you have to furnish the power yourself, Todd. That is not God's economy, but in grace, he furnishes you his life and his power in the resurrection life and power of Christ, Todd. So the thing is, we need to let go of our way to victory, refer to it as direct power, and go to God's way, which is indirect power. It comes to us through the cross. As we die, he rises up and lives his life through us, Todd.
Amen. And that's what Paul's saying right there. We're under grace, which is the divine enablement, not only the divine influence of God on our hearts, but the divine enablement. And that's brought about by our participation with Christ in the death and burial that he suffered once. And then he raises us up with divine enablement, grace. You know, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Jesus has come into the world and paid the full price for our sins so that we could be regenerated, made new, and live in an abiding relationship with him. And we must follow his prescription and not our own, not that of a pastor, and that which he is possibly leaving out. I'm planting a little seed in somebody's mind here. We cannot depend on mere men. No men. That's why God gave us his word, so we're not deceived. And I want to encourage you, beloved saint, to take close heed to Romans 6. Brother Travis, would you like me to read the first few verses there, starting in verse 3?
Yeah, go right ahead, Todd.
Because this dovetails into exactly what you were saying, brother, and this is the this is a central passage on the cross, obviously. Romans 6, 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, or from now on, we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, there's the victory right there, Brother Travis, right?
Oh, absolutely. And verse 5 there, Todd, is absolutely huge. Let that verse 5 soak in, because that just really sums it up. Let me read you two or three examples of right-side-up power, which is human power, as over against upside-down power, which is God's way. You could say old creation power versus new creation power. They're totally different, Todd.
Okay.
It's right-side-up power comes through accumulation of wealth, physical and mental strength, education, clout, networking, wit, charm, street smarts, threat of violence, intimidation, guns, high-powered lawyers. You know, all these are sources of human power that we use to control others and our environment. On the other hand, upside-down power achieves power by giving up control, Todd. It's control versus giving up control. Now, that's a strange paradox there, that we can gain control by giving it up and surrendering to God. So here are a few examples of God's power, right-side-up power. Power that comes to us through weakness, loss, brokenness, humiliation, vulnerability, helplessness, and absorbing blows instead of striking blows against the enemy, turning the other cheek instead of retaliating, and overcoming evil with good things, not by great numbers of force, but by a small remnant, is the way God works in his power. And these are the divine weapons, Todd, as over against carnal weapons that is the world's way. And that's, of course, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, about verse 3 or 4 there.
Yeah, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That takes in all that you previously said here, brother. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, this totally gives me a fresh new insight into this passage, brother. We must cast down any vain imagination of overcoming by self-effort. Is that correct? Is that what he's saying here?
No, it's not. You don't cast anything down by self-effort. You surrender in order to cast it down. Raise the white flag, as you and I have talked about before. And then God moves in with his superior forces that are unseen, that are foolish to the natural eye. But God's power, Todd, is usually tranquil and gentle, but it is so much more powerful than human destructiveness. It's amazing.
He's talking about weapons here and saying that they are mighty, mighty. The weapons of our warfare is the cross, and they're not carnal.
Exactly.
And they're mighty through God, and they cause strongholds of the enemy and sin in us to be pulled down. You know, this is a daily thing, right? I mean, we're living in this one body, but I would imagine it's the same for all of us. We all put on our pants one leg at a time, but this is not a yesterday thing. This is a daily thing, and that's what Jesus made. He qualified, one of those words. I walk with him as daily. He repeatedly used the word daily when he said, if you're going to follow me, here's how you do it. You deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, was not talking about building a heavy wooden cross and carrying it across the city. That's a ridiculous waste, in my estimation, brother. Forgive me if I offend anyone on that one. No, Jesus looks on the heart of man. He's interested in whether or not I'm saying, Lord, just what he said on the cross, and to your hands I commend my spirit, Father. Am I saying that to Christ today, Brother Travis? That's what I've got to ask. Am I saying, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. It's not my will today, but thine be done. For I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. Now, that's praying verbatim scripture right there. And that's the cross, which is threaded throughout biblical history. Brother Travis covered that a few programs ago. It's on the archive on Safeguard Your Soul Radio on Blog Talk. Amazing. We didn't even hardly get started on that one. It's so riveted and knitted in history, the cross. Now, I want to get back into that, brother, on one of the future programs. That's exciting. But we must look at this cross and face it, right, Brother Travis? We cannot evade it and expect victory.
No, we can't, Todd. And, you know, Ephesians 6, for so many years, I understood, you know, putting on the weapons of God's armor. And a sword is mentioned in there. And, you know, I would always try to picture myself putting on these weapons. Well, all I was doing was putting them on in human way and rising up in my flesh to try to fight the devil. You can't fight the devil in your flesh. You don't have the strength within yourself. Only the power of God is stronger than Satan and all of his various tools that he uses. So, Todd, I learned that the way to put on this armor is to put off our old armor, put off our old worldly ways of fighting, and sink down into death. And that is to sink down into this armor. The best example I've got in Scripture is David, who turned down the weapons that Saul gave him. That's a picture of our earthly carnal power and way to victory, and turned it down and took some absurd weapons, a slingshot to go against a Goliath, and five smooth stones out of that bottom of that brook, Todd. That's resurrection life coming out of death there, those five smooth stones out of the bottom of that brook. And that's the way he defeated the enemy, with God's weapons, not human weapons, Todd.
Hey, man, you know what comes to mind, brother, is how the Bible gives us a really insightful nugget in Jude, verse 9, where it says, "Yet Michael the archangel," this is the warring angel of God. Gabriel is the messenger angel we see in Scripture, and Michael is actually the warring angel mentioned specifically in Scripture. But yet, watch this, "Yet Michael the archangel of God, when contending with the devil," folks, if we're going to have the victory, we've got to have it over sin and Satan, and the only way is through Christ, his cross. "He disputed about the body of Moses, durst or did not bring against him," against Satan, "a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" Now, Brother Travis, how does that dovetail with the truth that, quote, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God," Colossians 3:3. Do we see that as something that parallels?
Well, I do. I think you do. And Michael did not rebuke Satan directly. In other words, he did not rail against him personally, but he left that for God. And that's the key to this upside down power. power is that we don't fight the battle. We let God fight our battles, and we surrender.
Yes.
And so that, I think that passage does. And anytime you see or you believe you see in the Bible God using destructive power, look for this subtle but powerful truth underneath that scripture where, you know, for instance, God's way of fighting is to let evil destroy itself, where he will somehow orchestrate this victory by turning the enemy in on himself as he did at Calvary. And so God never raises a finger in destructive power, but he allows the enemy to destroy himself through the cross, Todd, and the pattern of the cross throughout the Bible.
You know, I never thought of this, brother, but does that connect with how he allowed his enemies against Israel to turn their swords on themselves?
Exactly. You go through the book of Judges and see how he allows the enemy to destroy his people or to come in against them when they're doing wrong, but then he restores his people. But then the cycle repeats itself all through the book of Judges, and God, that's God's way to use the enemy for a good purpose, to bring victory and good out of these defeats, Todd.
Somebody once said that Satan is God's monkey.
Yeah.
And, you know, that fits right here. You know, in the book of Jude, I've never seen this till today, and that's why it's so important, saints, to discuss the Word of God and let it dwell in us richly or abundantly, Colossians 3:16. You know, we see the cross, the principle, the concept of the cross right there in Jude, verse 9, where Michael is hid with his maker. And then we read how we're to build ourselves up in the close here of the chapter. It's only one chapter of the book of Jude. Fascinating, power-packed chapter. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The cross is the key to powerful ministry. Amen. And we're talking about that in a very encouraging, exciting way in a new book called Revolutionary Evangelism. I want to encourage you to get a copy and get some copies for your friends. The cross is all the way through it, because that is what brings the resurrection life and power of God in our lives to produce fruit that pleases him, and that includes souls being saved. Hallelujah. It's called Revolutionary Evangelism. Not a long book, but I believe you'll be well blessed and encouraged and inspired and taught the way of the Lord, the way of the cross, and as the foundation for powerful divine ministry moving through his people. Revolutionary Evangelism, available in Kindle and print on Amazon. Then he says, now unto him, verse 24 of Jude, that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power forever and ever. That's the resurrection crescendo there at the end of this chapter, huh, brother?
Amen. You know, one great example, Todd, is Apostle Paul. You know, up until the Damascus Road, when he began to get this revelation of God's upside down way, you know, he was a destructive, violent zealot who relied on human power to put real believers in Christ in chains, drag them around, and even participated in their death. I mean, he was the one standing there holding the clothes of those that were stoning Stephen to death in Acts chapter 7. But after he met the risen Christ and the Lord Jesus taught him this new message of the cross, Todd, this man became, from a killer he used to be and someone who put people in prison, he became a dyer, Todd, a man of the cross, and released people into freedom, the freedom of Christ through the cross, Todd. So the Apostle Paul himself was violent and injurious, as it says in 1 Timothy 1. He became a lover of peace, a gentle person, and a person who died rather than killed anymore. Another example is turning the other cheek. When you absorb the blows, you know, that destroys the blows and the evil behind them. It extinguishes evil when you absorb it, as opposed to retaliating and perpetuating. Picking up the sword only perpetuates evil, but putting it down back into your scabbard extinguishes evil, Todd.
Amen, brother. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul is speaking of always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. that the life also is Jesus. So there's the death and burial and resurrection right there in that verse alone. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, the daily denying ourselves, taking up a cross and following Christ. That's not a burden. That's a blessing. When we see the victory out of this prescription, we're no longer going to look at in a prospective way. You know, it's like going to the gym. It's like, oh, gosh, I got this hour and a half workout ahead of me. You know what I mean? Right? We don't have the right. Let's talk about that a little bit in these closing moments, Brother Travis. We're talking about victory that's coming out. That's the resurrection, right? And so how should we view the cross going into it?
Well, you know what? It's very difficult just to make a choice to do this and to view it properly so you take part in it. It has to be something that happens to you. You have to come to it through stuff that you didn't want to happen. And you find it when you don't have any other source of power that you can turn to. That's the only way that we usually find it, is when there's no other way but God. And then we finally access his real power, Todd.
And that's what he's saying right here in this passage. And this is a central passage for he's talking about here in 2 Corinthians 4, which is a chapter I want to draw the attention of our audience to. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, there's the resurrection, might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that death worketh in us, but life in you. As death works in us, as we identify with Christ in his death and burial, the life, the resurrection life of Christ is going to work in us to bring forth the victory of Christ that he desires in our lives, not only personally, but in being fruitful, way beyond just overcoming sin ourselves. We've got to look way beyond that. That's just breaking ground zero, pretty much. God wants there to be a momentum, a great anointing, the life of Christ manifest in our mortal bodies, in this late hour in particular, so that souls can be saved and healed and taught the Word of God and blessed and taught this same cross message. Amen, Brother Travis. This is a passage that is indispensable, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And, you know, another way of looking at it is wolf power versus sheep power. We'll be sheep in the midst of wolves, Todd. And we think we need wolf power. No, we need sheep power. That's the power of God, Todd.
Amen.
Once you taste it, it's a lot easier to go back to the next time.
I agree. In fact, as one of my good pastors from way back used to say, it'll ruin you because you're going to get a taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You can't separate the Lord from the cross because we see it throughout history, the cross coded, if you will, or indigenous in the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, in one of these upcoming programs, Brother Travis, I want us to take a look at some more examples in history of the cross. That's just such a fascinating topic. Now, before we close here, we got a good couple of minutes. One of the programs that has gotten the most listens, over 5,000 listens already, is the one we did, you and I, Brother Travis, called The Evil Winds of Satan. In fact, I noticed as we close here, we'll pray that over 100 people listened to that program overnight, just overnight. And this is in the wee hours in the morning. And I want to invite our audience to listen to all of the messages on
SafeguardYourSoul.com/audios or on any major or minor podcast platform. Just put in with no spaces, Safeguard Your Soul.
God bless every one of you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give us the revelation of Christ and make us one with you. Jesus, we thank you for it, and we thank you for teaching us this cross, Lord. We confess afresh that we really don't understand it or much of it, but we ask you to teach our hearts and break us to the core of our being in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen, Todd.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.